Welcome back to Legal News and Review, coming to you recorded from Alpine Jaguar in Fort Lauderdale. Once again, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
Legal News and Review is back from our short recess. I am Philip Bell, the moderator for today's broadcast, along with legal guest panel host Robin Moselle and legal guest panel host Kim Gessner. With over 30 years of practice, he says 40 years, but we'll say over 30 years, but it is over 40 years in all seriousness. Here in South Florida, attorney Ron Ludzum utilizes a holistic approach to law that really benefits his clients. And of course, business and family issues overlap in many areas of their lives. And it's a specialized approach that often will benefit and be surprised to his clients, you know, what he practices and how he practices. He's not a typical family law attorney that, you know, cares about the hours. He cares about a good resolution and for the kids and does not fan the flames for billing hours. And those lawyers that are listening know about them as well. Ron, it's a real privilege to have you on our program. Thank you for coming in.
It's my pleasure being asked to be here. Thank you, Phil.
Yep, and I understand next week you're going to be talking about something near and dear to your heart, the SOS program, which is a foster care program. And tune in next Wednesday. You got to hear about this. It's making a big difference.
It's an incredible organization, and I am proud to be a part of it for some 17 years on the board. And it's the only facility in our county that houses the most severely abused, neglected, and abandoned children. And we provide them hope, health, and a home.
Yeah. A majority 100% graduation rate for high school.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Which
wow.
is
yeah.
totally different than the traditional foster. But, again, tune in Wednesday on Community News and Review broadcast at the same time on the same station. You know, there's a host of issues that is always in the news regarding family matters, and especially Great. Now regarding domestic violence. Most recently, Johnny Depp. You know, he seems like a peaceful man, somebody that probably drinks all the time, but he seems like, you know, that would be against who he is in this perception as well. And before we get into any other topic, domestic abuse is in many, not just physical, but it's also emotional as well. Am I correct, Ron?
Absolutely. Emotional abuse, unfortunately, tends to have a greater scarring effect than sometimes physical abuse.
Sure, lifelong, but I'm sure you hear this in the practice all the time. Depp says through his lawyer that he denies abusing her in any way, shape, or form and laying a hand on her.
That's a classic. That's a classic comment from an abuser.
But on the flip side, don't people use that as a trick, as a ploy to get a better standing within family?
Well, I'll share with you, I've been seared over the years in my practice, and I don't mean to belittle anyone, but I totally agree with you. And what upsets me mostly, unfortunately, is when I see spouses who use the domestic violence allegation as leverage in the divorce proceeding.
Right.
And when there is actual abuse, it's unconscionable, it's unacceptable, and it needs to be punished. But when I see a spouse using it to try to get leverage over their children in a divorce case, which I see more than you might expect, that's also egregious and unacceptable. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, the courts and the judges, if they find substantial evidence of that, they can use that in a way of punishing or sanctioning the parent with time sharing. But it's very, very hard. It's very, very hard to show and prove that. But it does happen.
Well, why do you term this a holistic approach? You're the first attorney that I ever
really?
Read on anything that had holistic in there.
Well, fortunately, I'll give credit to my wife, who's a very esoteric.
How long have you been married?
In 3 weeks, I'll be married 46 years.
Wow.
Congratulations.
And
beautiful. I've been seared in life. I've had deaths in families. I've had ups and downs in relationship, and my wife has taught me a lot about intimacy and skills and the whole body. And so in my experience, because I represent individuals, in probate matters. I represent mm-hmm. individuals in small business matters. Mm-hmm. I represent individuals in matrimony and all types of family matters, asset protection and bankruptcy. And there's not a legal matter that I have ever been involved with in over 40 years that didn't have an emotional component to it. And until you take that into consideration and factor that in along with the legal process that they're going through, you can't do justice or achieve the goals that the person is looking for. And so most of my clients come into my offices, and they're not lawyers, and they don't know the law. They don't know the procedure, and most of them are emotionally involved, so they're not objective. But yet they're very intelligent people. And so once I educate them, and my style is to educate them what their choices are, what their alternatives are, what their risks are, and the fact that I believe very, 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 very strongly in mediation. I've been an active mediator for some 26 years, both civilly, circuitly, and family and insurance-wise. I integrate the concept of mediation very early on, so that the parties can have a part, can participate in their own process to reach a resolution that they determine instead of having some strange judge, or jury tell them what is going to be.
But you don't fan the flames. If one is very upset, maybe the other spouse has something on the side, you know, a boyfriend or girlfriend, depending.
Not unusual.
But you don't fan the flames, you know, because they come to you very upset and they say, I want to get at them. And that's not what your job is, you told me.
You're right. And maybe it's because of my experience. You know, when I first got out of law school and I wanted to be a lawyer, I wanted to go to court, and we still litigate when we have to.
Right.
But I realized litigation is very expensive. It's very expensive financially, and it's very expensive emotionally.
Emotionally, you bet.
Absolutely.
And there's never been a divorce, even the most amicable divorces with minor children, in which the minor children have not been scarred to some degree. Mm-hmm. And so what I try to do is listen to what's really underneath their venting and their emotion and their anger and their grief, and try to find out what is the essence of their issues and try to facilitate a resolution as quickly as possible.
Excuse me. I looked into a case that you told me to look up, which is Hamovich. Thank you. I guess somebody in Nova now is going to do a shot. Every time I mispronounce a name, they do a shot of Jack Daniels. Thanks. Keep the keep those emails keep coming in. But
I love Nova.
You're a fun crowd. But I find this interesting because, first of all, from the Supreme Court aspect, but a prenuptial agreement, they were married for, I guess, 22 years, and they filed for dissolution of the marriage. But the prenuptial agreement was what was also in contention. Am I correct?
Correct.
Tell me what's about with this case.
Well, the Supreme Court just came down and clarified a dispute between some of the districts in the state of Florida. And essentially, this case came out of Palm Beach County, which is our district, the 4th District Court of Appeals. And essentially, this prenuptial agreement, which was written by some very, very experienced attorneys in Palm Beach County, but essentially the language, the wife waived all, any and all rights, titles, claims, and interests in any of the husband's properties of whatsoever kind and nature. But what the wife contended is that because the prenuptial agreement did not specifically reference an appreciation and value of assets acquired after the marriage or the husband's earnings,
right,
that she should be able to claim an interest in that appreciation in real estate or in his earnings. And the Supreme Court said, you had an experienced attorney represent you. There were a number of drafts going back and forth before you signed this agreement. You understand English, and you read and you signed the agreement. And the agreement says you waive and release any and all rights, titles, claims, and interests of whatso kind in nature.
Right.
You're out. You waived it. And so they upheld the decision, and the wife at the time was not able to claim an interest in those. So the essence of this decision is that a general correct waiver clause of globally any and all rights, titles, and interests are going to be upheld. And you don't have to specifically specify enhancement and value.
What's interesting in your practice, I have found that, if the marriage is really beyond repair, you take on the case. But you like to see if the counseling may be a right venue. You hate to see the marriages break up, don't you?
I do believe that people get married for the wrong reasons, and they get divorced for the wrong reasons. And generally, unless there's an emergency, which occasionally, a person generally can decide to file for divorce at any time. So why not give it a shot? Most people, and maybe I attribute it to my wife and the work I've done with my wife and intimacy skills training that we both do, they need education. And sometimes marriages can be resolved before they have to go through a divorce, particularly when there's minor children involved.
But without minor children, the Silver divorce, those have been married for 20-plus years, 25 years. They have a lot of assets together. The kids are in college. And, you know, they don't know each other. And they're not happy. And it's called the Silver divorce. Those are people that are 50 years old or older as well. And have you seen that within your practice?
Particularly here in South Florida.
Yeah.
You're seeing more and more of it in South Florida, Broward, Palm Beach County, I would see. This area does have transients, and there are people who've been married more than once. And a lot of times when there's a fight or they don't agree, mm-hmm. they think the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. And those are really equitable distribution types of divorces where we're just dividing up assets and liabilities. And I find that much easier and cleaner because when you're dealing with children, it's a whole nother area of trauma.
Absolutely.
But it's just dollars and cents.
But Florida is a no-fault state.
Correct.
What does that mean, no fault?
That's a very interesting and good question. And Florida, essentially, you don't need any specific grounds to file for divorce other than every divorce petition has to state mm-hmm. that the person filing states that they believe the marriage is irretrievably broken. That's a very subjective standard. Unlike other states like New York, where I'm from and I'm right. still licensed, generally you would need to have alleged certain specific grounds like adultery or recrimination or condemnation before you can get divorced, although you can file in New York and wait 6 months or a year and then convert it to a divorce. But here in Florida, you don't need to. However, there are certain grounds like marital misconduct. It's still admissible, but unless you can show a financial dissipation of assets along with the marital misconduct, the courts are not going to really take that under serious advisement.
What you mean by that, because this happened to a friend of mine. He spent about $100,000 on his mm-hmm. girlfriend when they got separated, and half of that he had to go back into the estate, if you will.
I think the courts in Florida and here in Broward County, the family division, are very progressive, mm-hmm. and they recognize that an adultery or a marital misconduct is an effect, and there's a deeper cause causing that action. And so just having an adulterous affair in and of itself is not that meaningful. But if you use marital funds or assets,
then it's meaningful.
Then yes.
Look out.
Yes, then look out.
Look out. Recently, the alimony reform did not pass. We talked about that briefly. And that was because you thought, and others do, because the timeshare. It was 50-50 timeshare that was included in alimony reform.
I think it's well known with my colleagues that statute definitely would have passed, and I look forward to being passed next legislative session, but for, and I forgot the person's name, I think it's Lee, he was divorced, and so because of his divorce decree, he wanted to make sure there was this time-sharing provision put in it, which was not approved by the governor.
You know, whether I wish we had more time, whether it's alimony issues that we're just talking about, child support, custody, of course, modifications. It's an ongoing, unfortunately, process. Modifications are a big part of family law. And of course, prenuptial and postnuptial agreements as well. I am going to be getting married, and I am going to have a prenuptial agreement.
You should.
I know. Absolutely. You know, and that way, you know, there's not any issue if things do not work out. But I don't expect it not to work out. Nobody does when they get married as well. Ron, your offices are located where?
In Coral Springs.
Beautiful Coral Springs.
Downtown beautiful Coral Springs.
That's right. Garden part of South Florida. And you've been there quite some time, but if people need to talk to you, you are a counselor, you're a problem solver, and you take calls quite readily, especially when it comes to issues regarding family and divorce law. What's the best way to contact you?
Well, I was called in New York, win them with lose them, because my last name could be pronounced in New York, lose them. So just remember my name, Ron Lose them.
But you don't lose them, you win them.
You're right. And my website is Broward-Lawyer.com, Broward-Lawyer.com. But I'll never forget that first day in law school. Scared out of my wits. Torts class, first day, first person called for a question was me. And a professor asked my name, and I said, it's Ronald Lose 'em. And he stared at me. He stared at me, and he says, Lose 'em is not But then he turned around, and I'll never forget this. He said, this is 1970.
Yeah.
He said, the dean of the School of Law of Notre Dame is William Lawless, and his firm is, his firm is Crook and Lawless.
Oh.
So don't give up.
You can't make that up.
No, you can't make it up. It's like the Three Stooges, Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe. That's the law firm on that thing. You know, Ron, you're a fine attorney. We'd like you to hang out for this next segment, which has to do about appeals as well, something you
actually very much
know about. And you're listening to Legal News and Review. And again, I am Philip Bell, the moderator for today's broadcast, along with legal panel host Kim Gessner and Robin Moselle. And we're going to be right back.